You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can only You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. I hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you have a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to be done, it must be done, then it will be done because you'll get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Hit that. The drop down you'll see, the first thing you'll see is African Perspectives. Hit that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program, of course, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. Tomorrow, Thursday, from 8 to 10, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Friday, from 8 until Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, from 7 to 9, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Also, two family, if you want to use a shortcut, go to whatever search engine that you might use and put in the search, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, there'll be programs that are dated and titled. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is webuyblack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, webuyblack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. He's ready to take another group of our people. The next trip is to Kemet, November 20th to December 2nd. November 20th to December 2nd. You can still jump on this trip if you wish to do so. $4,500. Going to Kemet. When he comes back, he's going to go right out again to South Africa, Azania, December 24th to January 4th, 2025, $4,800. April 4th through the 14th, 2025, $4,500 to Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, $4,600. Ghana, November. Well, there's a mix-up here still. I don't know why he hasn't corrected it yet, but he has a trip to Tanzania, November 20th to the 1st, and he also has a trip to Brazil, November 21st to December 1st. So, well, I'm quite sure he'll figure it out real soon. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. But if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. All right. Africa for the Africans. Habashah Incorporated.org. I don't know why I didn't get my Habashah in there. Yeah. Then something happened. And it's not down here. Oh, there it is. Habashah Incorporated.org. Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habashah Incorporated.org. And we'll talk more about this. The fest they're having in Ghana, October 12th. The festival they're having in Ghana. And they have a harvest fest this Saturday, 21st. It doesn't say where. Harvest Fest. Yeah. Doesn't give any information on it. So, but the great work that the brothers and sisters at Habashah Incorporated.org. Habashah. The Ledge Group, Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. And they have 12 different projects in 6 countries in Africa with over 170 employed and over 260 members. They deal in the 4 areas of human necessity, of human development, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Brother Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. And, of course, I'm not sure if he's still in Kenya or not, but he'll surface, the Minister of Wellness. Go to the ministerofwellness.com, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. The Smile Pharmacy website is having a problem, so we're not, open that up, but we can open Brother Moses West and the Moses West Foundation, MosesWestFoundation.org, and Brother Moses West. Of course, we know, choose any amount of donation, brothers and sisters. I make a donation once a month. I will continue to do so. I think it's what the work that this brother has done and what he's doing, what he's proposing is a necessity. Because water is essential and it shouldn't be commodified. Water should be finding ways to have water any and everywhere where it's needed. If you can't have it because of contamination or because of drought, we need to find ways to get it there. The atmospheric water generating machine that this brother has created is phenomenal. I know I've seen some other tools to help with water. The one tool where you can put, it's a straw. I know it's going to be deep. You can put it in murky water and it goes through a filterization process and you drink from that straw clean drinkable water. The Moses West Foundation is that water's in the atmosphere. The moisture that's in the atmosphere is taken and put in into the machine, it goes through a filterization process, open the tap, up comes clean, drinkable water. Water family, the Moses West Foundation. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the Atlanta area, in the West End, on Ralph David Abernathy, which is east from my location. I'm on Cascade, this is straight east. Ralph David Abernathy, 878 Ralph David Abernathy, Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar.
give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. I know on Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan dishes for sale. And, of course, they have delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and pastries and dry goods, all kind of good stuff, at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Appreciate the work that Mama Nia does and what she brings to our community, really. So give her a call if you want to. Give her a call and see if she has a book that you have, that you are looking for. And if she doesn't have it, she'll get it for you, believe me. So give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263, because she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Gift certificates, all of that. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore that we promote, of course, is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta. Take I-20 going east. Take exit 74. Make a left. Now you're headed north about a mile for a mile. And on the left would be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, my good brother Kazimde Ajamu. And he has books and all kind of good stuff, T-shirts and clothing. Give him a call at 770-305-6373, 770-305-6373, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Head back the opposite direction, now you're headed south, and jump back on I-20, you're headed east. Make a left, jump back on I-20, make a left, you're headed east. The next exit is exit 75, Turner Hill Road, and you exit Turner Hill Road, and three lights make a right, and three lights make another right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market, brothers and sisters. All right. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Thursday night, they have their Thursday night broadcast from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Or you can call to listen or give questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. Brother Beach has got it going on. He's open Tuesdays through Sunday at 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Ashay. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Give my sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sanjay-IET.org. Sister Gabrielle really has been working with young people in the northeastern portion, in the hills of Haiti. Support the sister. Go online. Go to Sanjay, Sonjay-IET.org. Sonjay-IET.org. See for yourself, brothers and sisters. All right. Baba Barudi and Mama Yah, of course, you know they're doing tremendous work educating our young students. Baba Barudi will be on next month, October 14th, Monday. October 14th, can't wait. And his health is improving. I talked to him. He's doing well. Ackman Institute. Okay. So if you want to donate, you can use PayPal, Yah Barudi at Yahoo. Or you can use Cash App, $Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I. To make your charitable donations that are definitely welcome and definitely necessary. If you want to check out the books, a prolific writer, Baba Broody is, go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. And, of course, we read the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. We read the one the day before and the day of. And sometimes on Friday, we read the day after. So we can keep it up and read every one of these each day. September 17th. Our evolution as a people is tied to whether we can find the courage, strength, humility, patience, devotion, commitment, fearlessness, steadfastness, and joy to love each other unconditionally, to help ourselves rebuild collectively, and not to be afraid to sacrifice parts of ourselves in order to harmonize with greater purpose of nation building. Our nation building process was always pioneered first by the coming together of couples with the permission and guidance of elders and sage. And then when the foundation of family was set after the birth of children, we then began to start the unification of these families for the purpose of nationhood. What does it take for an uncomplicated person to single-handedly choose to confront madness? What would it take for that single individual to confront an overwhelming assault against his or her being? What kind of inner strength is required to bring one to become willing to risk death to visualize and work toward a sane reality? Similarly, what level of personal sacrifice would it take for two such persons, each already individually assaulted beyond reason, to choose to allow themselves to become a complementary pair who unquestionably will be targeted for even greater assault by Urugu's reality as they join hands and minds in the ongoing effort to extract themselves from us, from insanity? Even more disquieting, why would they choose to bring a new life into a dysfunctional spiritual void, knowing full well the sustained hateful assault awaiting the offspring they have sworn on their souls to provide for and to protect? What kind of commitment, strength, and vision does this goal of African family require of compliments? It's a must, family. We need family. That's why the only thing that we promote is African family. An African man and an African woman together for African family. Affirm, I am evolving collectively. Affirm, I am evolving collectively. We must understand the collectiveness that we as African people have always exemplified and always shown, and we must do it. September 18th. We need the ritual that reminds us, reaffirms us, and reinforces the mission of our role in re-Africanization. This is a ritual where you gather with the faithful few who understand. This work simply must be done, and we must do it. This work must be done, and we must do it. Giving up is not an option. I repeat again, giving up is not an option. We must become a sovereign people again, fully willing to execute our divine power on creation in the spirit of Ma'at Neter Ankhti. African sovereignty requires revolution, and most revolutionary change requires the introduction and establishment of a clean slate. Most often, only torrents of righteous rage can produce the necessary purging. If this is to be so, the time we now consume is not to be wasted. It is a time of serious ritual, of steadily and uncompromisingly moving us toward the African possibility. Work is prayer. And given that the words create reality. Prayer is a becoming. Therefore, work, if positively, consistently, and reverently applied toward the acquisition of sovereignty, is ritual. It is the most natural and potent ritual there is. In this case, ritual is the practice of the state of existence to come. It is affirming what already exists while it is still unfolding. It is the work of expressing an unmitigated desire for an absolute return of ourselves to our natural essence through expressing a sincere appreciation for it, its spiritual source, and those who have thus far earnestly thought, spoke, and practiced it without display to or concern for anyone outside of our collective spirit. It is us and nobody, and I mean nobody, tells us what we must do. Affirm, I have ritualized my reAfricanization. Affirm, I have ritualized my reAfricanization. It is a ritual that means something I do on a daily basis. Ah, man. Yes, brothers and sisters. I came across something. I was going to talk about Cecil Rhodes, reading from Marimba's newsletter, The African World. And I'm trying to pull that up here. I don't know what the hell is. All right, there we go. Okay. Yeah. This particular piece, I'm going to read on Cecil Rhodes. I still may do that after the break, but I'm going to take this first half of the program because I've seen a piece on Richard Wright. Some of you, you know. Yeah, I sent a lot of hope. Hope all those who I sent the African World, the War Report to, hope you received it. If you didn't, if you're still looking for it, please, brothers and sisters, this is an online, and I hope that once I've sent it to you, you've sent it to many, many others. Let this spread, the War Report, the African World Newsletter, Mama Marimba, Ani, and many contributors, okay? Yeah, and I'm going to do a piece on the ghost of Cecil Rhodes, Anglo-American Conspiracy, Ola Isu, from Brother Ola Isu. I'm going to just kind of go back and forth with it, so I'll do that. But I want to do this particular piece. Yeah, on Trump. You know, it's ridiculous. It's just, I want to cuss, but it's ridiculous. And what Richard Reich has done, and I don't know if you ever follow him, not necessarily follow him, but see him in on Facebook. And you see what he does consistently challenging, you know. Okay. This is the 10 worst things about the Trump presidency. These are the 10 worst things. Now, of course, it's hard just to, you know, just to do 10, I'm quite sure. But let's see what's happening, okay? And if you want to call in, and after the information is given and some of the things that may even for you are the worst. But what's bothering the shit out of me is I don't give a damn what Caucasians do as it relates to Donald Trump. But what bothers me is the number of American African, particularly American African males, and particularly young, who claim to be supporting Donald Trump. Now, I saw a picture of him by six. All those things, to me, AI is slick. Artificial intelligence is slick. So I don't believe that they're real pictures. I don't, you know, because I don't believe any serious amount of us are supporting this man with his racist ass. Check this out.
Donald Trump left office with the lowest approval rating of any president ever. But some people now seem to be suffering from amnesia. Let me jog your memory. Here are the 10 worst things about the Trump presidency, in no particular order. Number one, Trump fueled division and sparked a record uptick in hate crimes. Number two, murder went way up under Trump. He presided over the largest ever single-year increase in homicides in 2020. Now, a number of factors might have contributed to that, but a big one is number three. Gun sales broke records under Trump, who has bragged about how he did nothing.
We did nothing
to restrict guns as president, in spite of number four. Under Trump, America suffered more than 1,700 mass shootings. Number five, Trump said there were
very fine people
among the neo-Nazis in Charlottesville.
Jews will not replace us!
I'm halfway to 10. If you think I'm missing something big, well, just leave it in the comments. Number six, Trump allied himself with the Proud Boys, a violent hate group who helped to orchestrate the January 6th Capitol attack.
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
Number seven, Trump's not wrong when he says,
I got rid of Roe v. Wade.
It's entirely because of Trump's judicial appointments that one in three American women of childbearing age now lives in states with abortion bans. Number eight, one of Trump's Supreme Court justices was Brett Kavanaugh, a man accused of sexual assault by multiple women. Number nine, Trump's White House interfered in the FBI's investigation of Brett Kavanaugh's alleged sexual assaults. And now, number 10. Trump has been convicted of committing 34 felonies while in office. The criminally false business filings he got convicted for in New York, all of them were committed while he was president. I'm sorry, did I say the 10 worst things about the Trump presidency? No, I meant 15. Number 11, Trump's failed pandemic response is estimated to have led to hundreds of thousands of needless deaths. By the time Trump left office, roughly 3,000 Americans were dying of COVID every day. That's a 9/11 scale mass casualty event every single day. How did Trump screw up so badly? Number 12, Trump's White House discarded the pandemic response playbook that had been assembled by the Obama administration. Number 13, Trump disbanded the National Security Council's pandemic response team. Number 14, Trump repeatedly lied about the danger of COVID, saying it was no worse than the flu or it would go away on its own.
Because of all we've done, the risk to the American people remains very low. A lot of people think that goes away in April with the heat. It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
But behind closed doors, Trump admitted he knew COVID was deadly.
This is deadly stuff.
Number 15, Trump promoted fake COVID cures like hydroxychloroquine and even injecting people with disinfectants.
Injection inside or almost a cleaning.
After Trump's disinfectant remarks, poison control centers received a spike in emergency calls. That's 15 things. Should I keep going? Okay, I'll keep going. The 20 worst things about the Trump presidency. Number 16, Trump presided over a net loss of 2.9 million American jobs, the worst recorded jobs numbers of any president in U.S. history. Number 17, Trump profited off the presidency making an estimated $160 million from foreign countries while he was president. Number 18, Trump also billed the Secret Service over $1 million for the privilege of staying at his golf clubs and other Trump properties while they protected him. That's your money. Number 19, Trump caused the longest government shutdown in U.S. history when he didn't get funding for his border wall, which he said Mexico was going to pay for.
I'm not
going
to pay for that wall.
Number 20, under Trump, the national debt increased by about 40%, more than in any other four-year presidential term, largely because of his tax cuts for the rich and big corporations. You didn't really think I was stopping at 20, did you? We're going to 25. Number 21, Trump separated more than 5,000 children from their parents at the border with no plan to ever reunite them, putting babies in cages. Number 22, the Muslim ban. Yes, Trump really did try to ban Muslims from entering the country. Number 23, Trump sparked international outrage by moving the American embassy in Israel to Jerusalem while closing the U.S. Palestine office. Number 24, Trump tasked his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, with drafting a potential Middle East peace plan with zero Palestinian input. Number 25, and finally, Trump recognized Israel's occupation of the Golan Heights, which is considered illegal under international law. So, there you have it, folks. The 25 worst... Wait a minute. Did I mention the impeachments? We've got to do the impeachments. Okay, let's go to 30. Number 26, Trump broke the law by trying to withhold nearly $400 million of U.S. aid for Ukraine in an effort to extort a personal political favor from Ukraine's President Zelensky. Trump wanted Zelensky to interfere in the 2020 election by announcing an investigation into the Bidens. Delaying this aid to Ukraine weakened Ukraine and strengthened Russia. Number 27, Trump personally attacked and ruined the careers of everyone who stood in the way of his illegal Ukraine scheme, including Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch and Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. Number 28, to cover up the scheme, Trump ordered the White House and State Department to defy congressional subpoenas.
We're fighting all the subpoenas.
Number 29, for these reasons, on December 18th, 2019, Trump became the third U.S. president to be impeached. He was charged with abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Number 30, even while he was being investigated for trying to get Ukraine to interfere in the U.S. election, Trump publicly called for China to interfere in the election.
China should start an investigation into the Bidens.
So, those are the 30...
What about the other impeachments and trying to end American democracy? There was also a pandemic and whatever.
Yep.
All right, so let's just repeat.
Okay, I'll go to 35. Number 31. Long before Election Day, Trump started making false claims that the election would be rigged.
It will be a rigged election.
Number 32. After losing, Trump falsely claimed the election was stolen, even though his own inner circle, including his campaign manager, White House lawyers, and his own Justice Department and Attorney General told him it was not.
The claims of fraud were bullshit.
Number 33, Trump kept telling his big lie even after more than 60 legal challenges to the election were struck down in court, many by Trump-appointed judges. Number 34, Trump ordered the Department of Justice to falsely claim that the election was corrupt. Number 35, Trump and his allies used threats to pressure state leaders in Arizona and Georgia to falsify the election results. We may go to 40. Is that okay? 40? Number 36. When none of the previous schemes worked, Trump and his allies produced fake electoral votes cast by fake electors in multiple swing states.
More electors, sir.
More electors.
Yeah, the electors are already here. They've been checked in.
Trump's former White House chief of staff and Rudy Giuliani are among the many members of his inner circle who have been criminally indicted for this scheme. Number 37, Trump tried to bully Vice President Pence into obstructing the certification of the election.
If Mike Pence does the right thing, we win the election.
Number 38, Trump invited a mob to the Capitol on January 6th with his, quote, "Be there, we'll be wild" tweet. Number 39, sworn testimony alleges that when Trump was warned that members of the crowd were carrying deadly weapons, he ordered security metal detectors to be taken down. Number 40, knowing the crowd had deadly weapons, he ordered them to go to the Capitol and
fight like hell.
Number 41, yes, I know, bear with me, I've got to go on. Trump betrayed his oath to defend the nation by doing nothing to stop the January 6th violence. Instead, according to witness testimony, he sat and watched TV for hours. Number 42, on January 13th, 2021, Trump became the only president ever to be impeached twice. This time, he was charged with incitement of insurrection. It was a bipartisan vote. Number 43, the majority of senators, 57 out of 100, voted to convict Trump, including 7 Republican senators. So that's the 2 impeachments and the big lie. But wait. We haven't dealt with Russia, right? We're going to 50, all right? We're going to 50. Number 44, Trump publicly sided with Putin over the U.S. intelligence community in denying Russia's interference in the 2016 election. Number 45, in a likely obstruction of justice, Trump pressured then-FBI Director James Comey to stop the FBI's investigation into Trump's national security advisor, Michael Flynn. This was documented in the Mueller report. Number 46, when Comey didn't bend to Trump's will, Trump fired him. Number 47, Trump tried to shut down the Mueller investigation by ordering White House counsel Don McGahn to fire Mueller. McGahn refused because that would be criminal obstruction of justice. Number 48, Trump ordered his staff not to turn over emails showing Don Jr. had set up a meeting at Trump Tower before the 2016 election with representatives of the Russian government. Number 49, Trump convinced Michael Cohen to lie to Congress about Trump's plans to build a Trump Tower in Moscow, and Cohen served prison time for lying to Congress. Number 50, Trump was not charged for criminal obstruction of justice because it's the Justice Department's policy not to indict a sitting president. But more than 1,000 former federal prosecutors who served under both Republicans and Democrats signed a letter declaring there was more than enough evidence to prosecute Trump. So those are the 50 worst things about the Trump presidency. Now, I could go on, and I will. The 75 worst things about the Trump presidency. Number 51, Trump said he'd hire only
the best people.
The best people.
The best.
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 Best people in the world.
But his campaign chair was convicted of multiple crimes. So was one of his closest associates. His deputy campaign chair pleaded guilty to crimes. So did his personal lawyer, his national security advisor, the chief financial officer of his business campaign, a campaign foreign policy advisor, and one of his campaign fundraisers. They all committed crimes, and Trump pardoned most of them. Number 52, Trump said
he drained a swamp in Washington, D.C.
But he appointed more billionaires, CEOs, and Wall Street moguls to his administration than any administration in history. Number 53, Trump intervened to get his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, top secret clearance after he was denied over concerns about foreign influence. Number 54, Trump hosted a Russian foreign minister in the Oval Office where Trump revealed top secret intelligence. Oh, and Trump's economic policies. Number 55, Trump promised that the average American family would see a $4,000 pay raise because of his tax cuts for the wealthy and big corporations. Well, how did that work out? Did you get a $4,000 raise? Of course not. Nobody did. Number 56, Trump vowed to protect American jobs, but offshoring increased and manufacturing fell. Number 57, Trump said he would fix America's infrastructure, but it never happened. He announced so many failed infrastructure weeks, they became a running joke.
Since it's infrastructure week.
Is it infrastructure week? Yeah.
Number 58, Trump said he would be the voice of American workers.
I am your voice.
But he filled the National Labor Relations Board with anti-union flacks who made it harder for workers to unionize. Number 59, Trump's Labor Department made it easier for bosses to get out of paying workers overtime, which cheated 8 million workers of extra pay. Number 60, Trump repeatedly suggested he might serve more than 2 terms in violation of the Constitution, and continues to do so.
We may have to go for an extra term.
Number 61, Trump called Haiti and African nations shithole countries. Number 62, Trump tried to terminate DACA, which protects immigrants brought to the U.S. as children. Luckily, this was struck down by the courts. Number 63, Trump called climate change a hoax. Number 64, Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Number 65, Trump rolled back more than 100 environmental protections. Number 66, every budget Trump proposed included cuts to Social Security and Medicare. Number 67, Trump tried and failed to repeal the Affordable Care Act, which would have resulted in 20 million Americans losing insurance, and striking down the ACA's protections for the roughly 130 million people with pre-existing conditions could have driven up their insurance premiums or led to a loss of coverage. Number 68, Trump made it easier for employers to remove birth control coverage from insurance plans. Number 69, by the end of Trump's term, the number of people lacking health insurance had risen by 3 million. Number 70, Trump lied constantly. He made 30,573 false or misleading claims while president, an average of 21 a day, according to the Washington Post fact checkers. Number 71, Trump allegedly took hundreds of classified documents on his way out of the White House, reportedly including nuclear secrets, which he then left unsecured in various parts of Mar-a-Lago, including a bathroom. He was even caught on tape showing them off to people.
Isn't it amazing? I have a big pile of papers, except it is like highly confidential. Yeah. Look at this. Yeah. See, as president, I could have declassified. Yeah. Now I can't.
Number 72, Trump seriously discussed the idea of nuking a hurricane. Number 73, when Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, Trump delayed $20 billion of aid and allowed Puerto Rico to be without power for 181 days. Number 74, Trump suggested withholding federal aid for California wildfire recovery and said the solution was to clean the floors of the forest.
Gotta take care of the floors.
Number 75, Trump pulled out of the Iran deal, placing Iran on a path to developing nuclear weapons. Honestly, there's so much more, from exchanging love letters with North Korea's brutal dictator.
We fell in love.
To publicly denigrating a Gold Star military widow and making her cry, to the way he attacked journalists, to late-night tweet binges. Look, I can understand why a lot of people want to block all of this out of their memories, but we cannot afford to forget just how terrible Trump's time at the White House was for this nation, and we sure as hell can't afford to put him back there.
And he's right about that. There's more, and that's Trump. And so my contention is, and believe me, we don't talk about Trump too much on this program, but when I saw that particular piece, and I occasionally listen to Richard Reich, who was he part of Obama's administration? I believe you. I know he was part of what you call this administration, Clintons. But as you can see, he could have gone on. And my feeling is this man should not be even able to run for president. The Republican Party is destroyed. The Republican Party. My good friend Jim Winbush, when we went to the Soul Train Cruise way back right before the 2016 election, and when we came back, we were at my house and watching, I think there were some debates and other stuff that was going on politically because it was getting to be that time for the election, and he said, Trump is going to ruin the Republican Party. And, of course, he won the election. And I jokingly said that he would win the election. Didn't want him to win the election. But I wasn't crazy about, I never have been, never will be crazy about the Clintons. You know, she was a failed candidate, but the Democrats put her up. That was the candidate, and they lost. No, they didn't lose the popular vote. She won by, what, 2-something million, maybe 3 million votes. Not as many votes that Biden won by over 8 million votes. But, of course, it's not a popular election. It's not who gets the most votes. It's who gets the most electoral college votes. The winning states with numbers of electoral college numbers. So you can lose the popular vote, of which Republicans have done so since Reagan. Reagan was the last Republican to win popular. But since that time, Republicans ain't the Bushes, neither one of them. And Trump, nope. No, they don't win the popular vote. So, we're going to be taking a break here in a moment. But give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832 to get in on the conversation. We come back from the break. We'll talk about a man who I have considered and have a deep disdain and hatred for. Yeah, that's right. Cecil Rhodes. The arrogant, racist ass Cecil Rhodes. Yeah, who has a scholarship named in his honor after all of the stuff that he has stolen. All the stuff this man has stolen from Africa. And the stuff that he says about trying to make sure that what happens is that they paint as much of the map of Africa British red. He claimed to it was their honor and their right to colonize all of Africa. So there's this poster. I don't know if you've seen it. You know, he's straddling Africa arrogantly because he was going to supposedly make a railroad transcontinental from South Africa to Kemet, to Egypt, going all the way up the eastern seaboard of Africa. Yeah. This is an arrogant son of a bitch, and we'll talk about that. Brothers and sisters, this is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from that break, we're going to get off into that conversation. That's right. We're going to get off in that conversation. So you stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media. Part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Give it all you got.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Oh, welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Kenny Burke, keep on rising. Keep on rising to the top. Keep on, family. Be positive. But it's hard, ain't it? It's hard being positive when you have such negativity consistently all around you. When you have a situation where a man who is running, who can run for president after all this stuff that this man has done, that's an insult of decency, an insult. I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy. And you can actually go back prior to this man running for office with his lying ass. 21 times a day, this man lies. You know. Hey, my brother, how you doing? Good afternoon, brother. Brother Rich, what's happening?
Oh, I'm doing great, brother. I just enjoy, this is like going to church when I get to listen to you, brother. Something I don't do very often. I will go to church, that is.
That's it, all right. Rather,
yeah, I'd rather deal with the people who, such as yourself, myself.
That's right, hopefully, right on. Us hopefully, but, you know, hopefully us rational thinkers.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that cut that you just played, Kenny Burke, man, I have that album. In fact, I got all his music. And I used to sit and play, but more so than play, the lyrics of that song never got away from me. I mean, that is a deep song.
It is. If you go online, because that's why I had to get a lot of my music now off of YouTube because of the problems I've had with my computer. And when you go to that song, Rising, Keep on Rising to the Top, there's a number of them. The one I just played doesn't give the lyrics, but there's two or three of them that give the lyrics. So you can just, you know, follow the lyrics, and you're right. It's deep. It is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. And it you know, but the thing that is, I should say, one of the things that is most revealing about that song and now is the difference in our thinking, our collective thinking.
Yeah.
This is no insult. I'm just pointing out, I could be wrong. Okay. You know, somebody tells me I'm wrong, show me I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's an observation, but, yeah.
Yeah, this generation that exists now of young brothers are very different from the brothers that are your and my age when we were their age.
Yeah.
We sought after liberation.
Yes.
They are seeking about inclusion. And even though we did not achieve many of the things we sought, it was still ingrained in us of the possibility that if we couldn't take our bodies there, we could take our minds there.
I say.
And I see so many young brothers and sisters nowadays. I mean, they just want to be included, man. And it's like sitting in a den of rattlesnakes trying to decide which one you want to get bit by. Mm. These people have no intention on doing anything that is going to improve our lives and, most importantly, our future. Those are things that the individuals have to do themselves. And sometimes that means people have to fight in order to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love my parents. They fed me. They changed my diaper. You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I had to leave them.
Yeah.
I loved them. Still to this day, the
always.
Thought, you know, even,
yeah,
you know, I had to get out of that house, man. And I realized that at a very young age. you know, 13, 14 years old. I can't live here much longer, mm-hmm. you know. And collectively, we don't think like that. We try to figure out ways to become included with Satan. And to put it in a, I don't want to put it in a biblical sense, but it is certainly anti-human what we pursue. I mean, the things, brother, that you and I have to go through just to get to where we got to go to get the money to get what we need is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know you know exactly what I'm speaking about.
Yeah.
I hear it as an undercurrent of 99% of what I hear you talk about. I've used this analogy before, and I think it's sometimes more appropriate than others, but it points to a condition. We've missed the bus that would have taken us where collectively we would like to have gone. So we can arrive at we can head towards the destination, but it's not going to be collectively. It's going to be individually.
Okay.
And you'll meet people along the route, or maybe when you get there, or maybe you'll die en route, or whatever, you know. But the point is, the opportunities that we had when Malcolm and
yes.
Elijah Muhammad.
Yeah,
and we're pointing out very specific, provable things. This wasn't just rhetoric. Mm-hmm. They pointed to the actual history that they wrote. We didn't write this history. They wrote the history of our people. And they brought us here to be shadow. And that's all they right. ever expected us to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
All that they gave us the opportunity to be was shadow, man. Mm-hmm. And so we have done everything that we could have done in order to gain acceptance in a society that wasn't designed for our progress. And so, and now when you look at it, you see so much time wasted. I think of my grandfathers and the things that they must have had to go through just to get from day to day. Man, we would, all of us would be dead having to just do the things that they had to do daily, putting their head down. Grown men had yeah. to put their head down when they came in the presence of white people, men, women, and children. Grown men. And we were subjected to that foolishness, and we're still subjected
yes,
to it.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. There are many of us who are very timid and who are very afraid of this system and what it will do for what it will do to them if they get out of line.
Yeah. Mm.
At least that's their perception. But they don't understand
yes,
because you get out of line, but not us. Not collectively. That's the whole point. They recognize once Africans unite, it's over for their ass. And so we'll do
that's
everything
right.
possible to keep Africans disjointed, separated, fragmented at each other. We'll continue
yes.
to do that because we know if that happens, it's over for our ass. And they
right.
ain't got to do nothing to us, but we don't have them anymore. They have become an independent, sovereign, and liberated people. Their mind, mm-hmm. we don't have their minds anymore. They do for themselves. They go back. They can't do it here. You can't do it here, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. You there, Rich? Oh, I must have lost him. Okay, I must have lost my brother. Yeah. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Because when that happened, about three other callers, it just came off. So give us a call, family. Somebody give me a call. Let me know I'm on the air. Yeah. Mama Marimba's African World, the War Report. If you want to get a copy, you can email me at OSHI427ADE. That's OSHI427A as in apple, D as in dog, E as in Edward. OSHI427ADE at gmail.com. Or give me a call if you want to get a copy. It's electronic. Okay, I can email you this today. Okay? So if you want to give me a call at 414-324-5796. 414-324-5796. And this is the African World, the War Report. They have an article in here on Cecil Rhodes. I detest Cecil Rhodes so much because he is the epitome of the Caucasian. Very arrogant, weak and sickly, but he takes it out on everybody else. Homosexual. You know, that's funny because some people have thought that being a homosexual that you're more inclined to be with disadvantaged people because you're going to be discriminated against and those other persons will be just, so you have a kind of a kindred connection. Oh, no, brothers. No, brothers and sisters. They who they are, Urugu, whether they're heterosexual or homosexual, and we who we are. Bottom line. But this is what Cecil Rhodes, this is from a book, Cecil Rhodes by John Flint. Africa is still laying ready for us. It is our duty to take it. It is our duty to seize every opportunity of acquiring more territory, and we should keep this one idea steadily before our eyes, that more territory simply means more of the Anglo-Saxon race, more of the best of what is human, most honorable race the world possesses. To forward such a scheme with a splendid help, a secret society would be a society not openly acknowledged, but who would work in secret for such an objective. For fear that death might cut me off before the time of attempting its development, I leave all my worldly goods in trust to and for the establishment, promotion, and development of a secret society, the true aim and objective, whether for or shall be for the extension of British rule throughout the world, especially the occupation by British settlers of the entire continent of Africa. Cecil Rhodes. When Cecil Rhodes died in 1902, his last will and testament called for the establishment of the Rhodes Trust, an educational charity. You know, you heard of the Rhodes Scholar, educational charity that set up the Rhodes Scholarship Fund, which awards a select few with a scholarship to Oxford in Oxford, England. The Rhodes Scholarship has been awarded to some of the most influential people in the last 122 years, including 8 future heads of state, Bill Clinton being one, John Turner of Canada, Norman Manley of Jamaica, Don Manford of Malta, Bob Hawke, and Tony Abbott, and Malcolm Turnbull of Australia. However, it has his first will, written in 1877, published under the title Confessions of Faith, that is the focus of this paper. In 1877, Rhodes was a student at Oxford. You know, American Africans have been awarded the Rhodes Scholarship. And let me just say this. As I said, for decades, because I became aware of Cecil Rhodes decades ago and have a deep hatred and disdain for that man. There was a PBS documentary on Cecil Rhodes. I'm going to try to go to YouTube and pull that up so I can watch it again. How he battled Obengula and the Matabele tried to take their land and try to trick them. How he had a relationship with his secretary, this male dude, this dude. In fact, as I always said, he always hung around with, had with him nice young men. He's a pedophile. Sick. Cecil Rhodes. Then one historian said that, well, he did open it up so he couldn't be racist. No, yes, he is. And yes, he was. He wouldn't have did what he did. You couldn't see that damn poster of him straddling Africa from north to south, saying what God would like me to do is paint much of the map of Africa British red, the total conquest. I just read that to you. Cecil Rhodes. The creation of the De Beers diamond mines. The country of Zimbabwe, formerly known as Rhodesia. In Zambia, northern Rhodesia. Cecil Rhodes. Let me. Good afternoon, Brother Irv. How are you doing, man? Brother Irv, are you there? Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm right here.
All right, dear brother. How are Bob you Osh. Today? Yes, sir. Good.
Oh, yeah. What I do, Bob Osh, is I mute myself so that you don't have to mute me when I call in.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I forget to cut it off. That way I don't interfere with what you're saying.
Well, that is appreciated.
Cecil Rhodes, you said something about Rhodes, man. And you had spoke about the Rhodes Scholar and the Rhodes making this
yeah,
human being.
Yeah,
or whatever. Farming.
Your former mayor was a Rhodes Scholar, Kurt Smoke.
Yeah, Kurt Smoke was a Rhodes Scholar. Went to Oxford, went to Yale, went to Harvard.
Yeah,
but believe it or not, Kurt Smoke was part of the Democratic machine back then. Because I was taking pictures as a professional photographer back then, political photography. But Kurt Smoke came up with the idea to make marijuana legal. And when he said that, they ran him out of office because of that. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is.
And now marijuana is legal. And you know, my thing with the whole marijuana piece, Baba Oshie, is, I mean, smoking marijuana is what it is. But I just believe that the mind should be developed before we start introducing alcohol and marijuana and all these mind-altering drugs into it. So I believe that the children, they should be of adult age, whatever say the age is.
I agree.
You know,
yeah,
before they start smoking and drinking and even having sexual intercourse too soon.
All of those
can
things.
Be a detriment.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the male as well as most definitely on the female's part. You know.
Of course.
Her having a child at 13 or 14 years old. I mean, because, you know, the reality of it is, if she is menstruating, she can have a baby. Because of the hormones in the food, especially processed food and the fast food, you know, genre, McDonald's, Burger King, you say it, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
Those things loaded with hormones. And so she eats those, and that's her constant diet since she's been, you know, the baby into her adolescence, and now she's 10, 11 years old, she can come on a period. And if she can come on a period, and she's having unprotected sex, which she's not even thinking about, she can become pregnant. She can become pregnant and give birth to a child at 13, 14, 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Man. Yeah.
And when you're living in someone else's house under someone else's rules, this particular society that we live in this country is a sexist society.
Yes.
Everything is sexist. Everything is towards the man being in charge and running things, and the woman behind him, not beside him. And that's all. If that's your thing, that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, Irugu is an extremist.
Right.
See, Irugu you can't keep a man down and have a balanced, a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
Irugu believes he always has to exploit someone in order for things to run properly, and only he gets to choose what's properly. In other words, the system of capitalism only works if someone is doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is getting less than you, I buy something at one price and I sell it for another price. Oh, you're smart, and you're exploiting your brother.
Right.
But this is how capitalism works. If you don't particularly like it, then you can leave. Leave and go where? I've never been anywhere else. The only time I've ever been to Africa was in my mind, but I made it a point to make a pilgrimage to Africa, and I'm going back sooner than later.
I say, Africa, because
I think, like any other African Afrocentric mind, you should seek to go to Africa. You should seek to be. I didn't say move there. They're gonna open their arms and welcome home, brother. We missed you. They don't know me from a bag of potatoes. but what is in Africa?
Right,
is
that feeling,
brother? My mind is African. My mind is in
that,
Africa.
That's what Malcolm said.
And this is what.
That's what Malcolm said. You're talking about, we ain't leaving nothing in Africa. No, you left your mind in Africa. That's what you left.
You left your mind in Africa. You left all your common sense in Africa.
Exactly.
Because you're here trying to fit your round self into a square hole, or your square self into a round hole. And every time you do that, you start to – Rubu tries to take a piece of you. Because Irugu wants your soul, man. He wants what's inside you, not what's outside you. I mean, one day, folks, you can be standing on top of the world, which it appears, all the money, the women, the houses. And the next day, you're indicted for human trafficking and gun charges. So go down the list of my free T-shirts, you know, my free Bobby Brown, free Bill Cosby. Free P. Diddy, free R. Kelly. You can keep going. Free O.J. We just keep going down the line of the T-shirts that we have to make. I mean, and we can send it to you for just a small shipping and handling charge. But my point is, any black man who excels to anything, even I read a story the other day about LeBron James saying that he's messing around with teammates' wife or some foolishness if it's a rumor, if it's true, why do we want to tear down any American African who appears to be successful in Irugu's world? But Irugu, they eat their young. Mm. They eat their young. They turn on each other. And see, the thing for me, Baba Oshi, I may not agree with your philosophy, but you're my brother. And if my brother's in trouble, I'm in trouble. I'm not going to sit up here and pile on to anybody, any American African, especially that the press or Rugu tends to condemn. We're going to condemn this person. We have too much to do to sit here and pile on. I always knew. You ain't know nothing. All you know is what you read or what you see that someone shows you. I don't do research. I don't have the ability to go around the world and find out of all these. I just read a story about Louis Armstrong that sounded great. Some white folks took him in and saved him. Another guy came back and said, that's not true. Mm-hmm. He worked for those people. So the point I'm making is, you question everything, question everyone.
Right. Exactly.
Do your research. Mm-hmm. Even you say things I say, well, let me look that up.
Yes.
Real quick.
Do exactly. your own Please. Research.
You know, I mean, you and if I'm wrong, and if I, hey,
and if I'm wrong, rescue me. If I'm wrong,
that's
tell
right.
me. No,
that's,
brother
that's,
Oshi, that's
all
I saw
right
it
together.
Here. Then we can both research. Yes, I admit, because you know, a lot of the information that I do send out. Once again, I don't give you my opinion, because my opinion is profane. What I try to give you is the scholarly research of our scholars, our historians, our ancestors, our elders. That's what I want to give to you. That's why right now I'm reading from the African World, the War Report that Mama Marimba and many of our colleagues have sent out. Dynamic, man. It's 70 pages online.
I see.
You know? So
I see.
There is literature, all kinds of literature, from pamphlets to thick-ass books like Amos Wilson, Blueprint for Black Power, or my favorite, of course, Urugu, which is subtitled Urugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is necessary. These books are necessary. All this is necessary to helping us restructure and rechange our minds to get us on the right path. And that path is to liberation, self-determination, and sovereignty for us as a people. That has to be the ultimate, brothers and sisters, is sovereignty. I don't do this program so white folks can, you know, let us into their into their schools, into their neighborhood, into their businesses, and hire us. No, I give less than a rat's ass about what Caucasians say, think, or do. I know it affects me. I know it affects us. But what I'm trying to do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, put something on our minds to make us understand how important it is for us to be a collective people, how important it is for us to think in a way about independence, about self-determination, about liberation and sovereignty for us as a people, to think about Pan-Africanism. If we don't develop it, we will perish. To think about unification, about us coming together. It is unify. If we don't, we, damn it, die. We cannot live. One thing has become very clear to me, and I don't know about none of y'all. Caucasians will not stand to share with us. And they sure in hell don't understand of us ruling over them. Now, granted, what you're saying, Brother Osha, we're going to have a black woman president. We already had a black man president. But when you look at the 8 years of Obama and possibly 8 years of Harris, it ain't going to be shit. It ain't going to be earth shattering. It ain't going to be something that is going to be a tremendous benefit for African people. No. It'll be the same old, same old. What tremendous benefit? Now, you can say a program here or there about what Obama did. But no, Barack Obama maintained and sustained the privilege that Caucasians have established for themselves. He was a good caretaker of the status quo. Rescue me if I'm wrong.
That's shame.
You know?
That's shame. You're absolutely correct.
And so will she, just like she said, has in the campaign when she ran, when Biden won and then Biden chose her as vice president. No, I'm not going to advocate for reparations. I'm not going to talk about something I'm going to do especially for black people. No, I ain't doing nothing especially for the black people. Yes.
By Oshi. That yes. came out her mouth.
Yes.
I saw that come out of her. That, yes. That's not something I heard somebody say or I read. Right. I saw that on television. That yes. came out of her mouth.
Yes.
I'm not going to do something just for black people, only right. for black people.
Right.
And black people, this is the part that gets me with the American Negro, had no problem with that. I have no problem with that. We'll overlook that. So that we can yeah. have a people. It's just like all these yeah. people all of a sudden, Baba Oshi, are concerned with the Haitians. Oh, why are you treating them so bad? Well, they don't eat dogs. Well, I didn't see all these people jumping up and down when I saw the picture of the guy on the horseback
right.
whipping
them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't see nobody jumping up and down then. I didn't see you concerned with all these Haitians, and I'm talking to Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, that picture was terrible, and we moved on to the next big thing.
Right.
So all of a sudden, white folks is concerned that Haitians are eating dogs. Are you serious? And it's sad, because the lady's going to win. So let's stop the dumb foolishness. Yeah. Not only don't you have an election for, yeah. it's a coronation.
Right.
He's going to win. This guy. It's hers to lose. This guy's an idiot. He can't manage.
Well, brother,
he's
if
a
you,
failed businessman.
Listen,
come it, on.
I played a piece by Robert Reich. Now, when I'm thumbing through Facebook, when I see Robert Reich, I usually stop and listen because there's small vignettes, sometimes 5 to 6 minutes. This one was about 15 minutes, but this was 50 things where it wound up being 75 things. That were the worst things that Trump did in his presidency. And he didn't even go before the presidency. He talked about from the presidency onward. And, I mean, you talk about, so I don't know if you can pull that up if you didn't get a chance to hear it, but it's worth it, you know. But it's truly, it's, when you watch what he's, and listen to what he's saying, there should be no way in hell that any sane, rational, good-thinking person would ever even think about putting that son of a bitch up for election again. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is really ridiculous. All the things this man has done.
Let's get past the personality. Let's get past, I don't like him. Let's get past that part. You know, I don't like him. Okay. But now let's look at the substance of what he's saying. He's talking about himself. I'm going to do this.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
For some reason, they, I don't like him as a person.
Right.
But then I look at his substance. What is he doing? What is he not doing? Who's leading him? Who is the brain behind this cat? This guy's up at 3 a.m. texting somebody and having a verbal masturbation on the internet, going back and forth over somebody said something or whatever. Dude, you're president of the United States. You're the man. You're the one who the people have voted to spend their money, because that's what politicians do, right. Baba Oshi. Politicians right. are the ones who spend your money. That's why you're paying for bombs to go to Gaza. That's why you're paying for bombs to go to Ukraine. That's why you're paying for the United States to fight in Sudan, which you don't see on TV. You never see television. Mm-hmm. You never saw Afghanistan on TV, because they don't want you to that your mind. They don't want your mind to have that in there. They want you to think about other things,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, this border crossing and DACA and homosexuals dresses and reading to your children. And they're acting like they calm that rhetoric down all of a sudden because they don't want you to think about that right now. I need you to think about Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King and all the symbolism, Baba Oshi, that goes along with the fake civil rights movement, because most of these states don't even have a voters' rights act. It's time for an awakening, Brother Elliot. They'll tell you exactly, because they do a lot of research, and I like that.
Yeah.
They do a lot of research, and mm-hmm. they don't say anything
basically that they can't prove or that they can't refer you to where they got it from.
Right.
And when they do that, it's just so powerful to show you how they're diverting you from the farmers. They're diverting you from all the land that black people have lost over the years. I say black because I'm weaning myself off of that black, and I say it every now and then, and I'm sorry about that to the listeners, because we are American Africans. Black is a color, and that ain't nothing but the truth. Dr. Kimberly Clark, got to give him the credit for that. Mm-hmm. But no, Baba Oshi, the narrative is always being driven by the Caucasian.
Yeah.
The Caucasian tells you what to think, what to buy, where to go, what looks good. I saw a guy do a video about women and talking to a woman about her hair, and she got upset.
Mm-hmm.
She got upset because the fake hair she had in her head was giving her cancer. You get in the hair that you're putting on your skin, and it's giving her cancer. The cancer rates are going up. The all-time rates, all this foolishness is happening. Because of the chemicals that is slowly, we're not growing our food, so we don't know exactly what we eat, but we know it tastes good. And like the guy said, there's a plant in New Jersey that can make a pile of shit taste like chicken nuggets. And I believe that, Baba Oshi. I believe that. Mm-hmm. If you can make a milkshake, and Chick-fil-A has a strawberry milkshake that is white. That is white.
Yeah, at least they should have made it color.
I want strawberry. Yeah. You know, strawberry and hell.
Right.
Go ahead.
I hear you, man. Let me catch another caller, brother. Just hang on.
But anyway, Bobo, let somebody else talk.
All right, bro.
I'm babbling now. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon. Whoa. Got a lot of feedback. Good afternoon. Man. So.
Hey, Oshi.
Hey, Jay.
Oshi.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, man.
Okay.
Listen. First of all, the real issue boils down to this. Black people need to understand white people don't want them to have nothing in this country. If you realize that white people don't want you to have nothing, then you could understand Donald Trump. The problem is we think that we could get along with these people, that we could work with one another, we could be allies, we could be in friendship, we could integrate with them, we could be all those things.
Right.
But the reality is 76 million people put the interests of other Americans ahead of who they're supposed to be their karaje and ally and all of this for absolute psychopathic, narcissistic fool.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at what that whole thing that you played by Robert Reich says to you.
Yeah.
I mean, what is his qualifications to really be the president? He showed you in 4 years that he was absolutely inept and incompetent.
Yes.
Anytime a man tell you to inject bleach into your body, what the F is wrong with him? I mean, an idiot would not say that out in public and then try to justify it or get somebody else to justify it or to raise and all of this. So the reality is, like you say, we need to leave this place. The reality is black people need to realize that these white people are not your ally, your friend, but nothing but your absolute, as Haki Madhubuti said over 50 years ago, your perpetual enemy. Yeah. And the sad thing is that he rejected it, he rejects it now.
Yeah.
That's the sickness.
Yeah.
That's the sickness of the Negro. But I give it to him as the grandpa syndrome. That's what he suffered from, the grandpa syndrome.
Yeah.
But the reality is, the white man is your perpetual enemy. Now, think about it. You're talking about Cecil Rhodes. Who has been more of a barbaric
white man than Cecil Rhodes. And then to try and justify who and what he is or was, they give you a scholarship, and right. the Negro dies to have it. Yeah. Something's just fundamentally wrong listen with the this, way Jay, that we see the world.
Jay, listen to this. And I came up with this maybe, many, many years ago. Getting a scholarship or getting a scholarship in the name of Cecil Rhodes is tantamount to a Jew getting a scholarship in the name of Adolf Hitler.
That's I agree with you.
Yes. And do you think that a European Jew would accept a scholarship in the name of Adolf Hitler? Hitler so abominable that even in German society, you can't say his name and you can't name nobody Hitler in German society. That's how much of an influence that the European Jews they have and what happened to them. They would like to exorcise Hitler.
But
from
you
German
know what's
history.
Sad, oh?
Uh-huh.
Most black people who have accepted the scholarship of Cecil Rhodes don't know a goddamn thing about him.
Exactly. They don't.
Don't know a history.
No.
Because if you knew the history
right.
of Cecil Rhodes, you could not accept that scholarship.
No.
I don't care how mentally sick you are, you could not accept that scholarship. I wouldn't accept that scholarship. Would you accept the scholarship from the murder of your child?
No.
Or the rapist of your mother?
No.
Or something more diabolical that is known to be the nature of the white man? But we don't even deal or address it on the level that we should. It's no way in God's green earth you should justify Donald Trump being president.
None.
I don't care
None.
What you perceive
None.
Kamala Harris to have done.
Right.
Or the prosecution of black men and this and that. Let's put it all into context.
Mm-hmm.
Who were the facilitators and the architects of those laws? It was Bill Clinton, Joe Biden,
mm-hmm.
the Congress, and the Senate.
Yeah.
And
she and just,
in order for
and she
you,
just followed
your
through.
Love of white,
That's right.
Because of your love of white people and mm-hmm. your employment by white people,
mm-hmm.
you are part of that system.
Right.
Now,
you
the question
through.
Becomes, who do you think will do something in your best interest? The reality is Kamala Harris is going to do nothing for black people. She's basically not going to really do anything harmful
right.
to black people.
Right.
The reality is Donald Trump is not going to do nothing for black people, but he's going to do things harmful to the interests of black people because of what? His desire to grow the empire and to protect and solidify whiteness in this country,
yeah.
knowing that white people will no longer be the majority in this country in the next couple of years.
Right.
So his job is to solidify, just like they did in South Africa, white people.
Right.
Now, do black people understand that?
No.
Not at all.
No. No.
But that's the reality. That's just yeah. the basic reality. So whenever I'm having a discussion with somebody in regards to this, I'm just saying you have to understand that this is to solidify in this country whiteness and to keep whiteness and white people in power even when they are the minority. If
you
don't understand that, you ain't in the game, bro.
I hear you. Appreciate
because
that,
white
Jack.
People, in all honesty and truthfulness, to the core of their being and to their soul and to their DNA, they hate black people. They don't want black people to have nothing in this country.
That's right.
That's why when you hear Kamala Harris and them talking about giving you money for housing, giving you money to start businesses. What is that doing? That's helping some white people, but that's also placing people of color in the position to compete with you. White people don't want black people competing with you. Why you think they're getting rid of DNA, the DEI and all that of affirmative action and all of those tools that allowed you to supposedly compete with white people, but the reality is it never benefited black people. It benefited white women and other white people. So let's keep it 100.
All right, Jay.
But we don't understand that because, Oshi, and I'll leave you with this. We don't read. We don't study. We don't take what our elders have said to us. And we don't have no, in all honesty, vision of our future.
I hear you.
Without white people.
Without white people. That's right.
Put me on hold, my brother.
All right, Jay. Appreciate you. Peace. Good afternoon. Hey.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning, my brother. How you doing?
How are you, Baba Ochi?
I'm doing well.
Absolutely. Giving thanks for life. Let's just give homage to life. Thank you. Thank you for doing what you do.
I appreciate it.
Baba Ochi, you know, I acknowledge all the callers and the contributors of this program. But after what we played today, I'm especially feeling Brother Ralph. I can feel his energy now. Yeah. I can see him kicking down the radio, throwing the radio around the floor. I can actually feel that. You know, the reality is that what you pay attention to becomes your reality. And I'm just going to pay attention to this for a second. Donald, Hitler, Mussolini, Trump, the dumb. Let me upset someone here. I almost want him to be the president. I want him to be the president. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. This man in England wants him to be the president. You know why, Baba Ochi? Because I think, right, you go asleep, man. You're on the sleeping. I have to be honest, man. You're just asleep, man. Most of you just asleep. You're just sleeping.
It's a nightmare, man. We're going through a nightmare, though, brother. It's a nightmare.
Nightmare? I don't think you've seen a nightmare yet.
Yeah.
If you was in Gaza, you would know about nightmare.
Yeah.
You're not in Gaza.
I heard that.
Yeah. If you was in Gaza, you would really know what a nightmare is, okay? Yeah. When you see your mom getting blown to pieces, your daughter being torn up, shot down, murdered, right in front of your face. You really know what a nightmare is. And the same people we all paying our taxes to us keeping up that nightmare.
Yes.
We ain't in no nightmare. We get up, we go to work, we brush our teeth, we eat 3 meals a day. We are not in a nightmare. Elder, we ain't in no nightmare.
Yeah.
We ain't in no nightmare. What we are watching, for the sake of clarity and good order, it's just a stage show. It's all a stage show. Brother Ralph, you know, it's just a stage show. But, you know, ignorance will be your downfall. The great Robert Nesta Marley said, many going to have to suffer. He said that on the record. I'm making it up. Mm. He said that, and I always wondered, why would you put something like that on the record? Many of you are going to have to suffer, and many of you are going to die. And you're going to die because of ignorance, nothing else, lack of knowledge, lack of knowledge of yourself. So much attention is paid to this circus. But the reality, and I'm not talking about you or the contributors to this program, Baba Ochi, at all.
Okay.
I'm saying on us as a people, as a whole, we follow the circus clown like it's real.
Yes.
It's mind-boggling.
It is, brother.
Brother Ralph, you know what I'm talking about, Brother Ralph. You know. We follow this circus. Listen to us. I tell you, we sound like children almost, infantile. But yet, where's our plan? 2025. But no, where's our plan? Where is our plan? My God, what has happened to our minds, man? Seriously. We're so worried about these people, but yet, what about us? What about where we're going? What are we doing? What are we creating? What are we making? What are we really doing? How are we uniting on the planet? I don't even hear anybody from the continent actually speak on these platforms. So I don't really know. Yeah. All third parties telling me what Africans are doing, what Africans are doing, what Africans are doing. But yet not one African we hear speak from the continent who's living a life today. Ordinary like us, just like us.
Yeah.
So really and truly, I ain't buying it. I ain't buying the fact that in that reason, a few Africans have managed to overthrow the system because I know this devil. I don't know if them Africans have made weapons because this devil is going to come at them just like he's in Gaza with some serious weaponry.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering,
yes,
how many tanks have they made? How many tanks did they make yesterday? How many guns did they make? How many bullets did they make? You can go on net and check, and there's not very many because that's how he's going to come at you. Just like you're watching in Gaza, that's how he is going to come.
That's right.
And then you're going to know what nightmare really is.
Ashay.
A real nightmare, Baba Ochi. Mm. And I just have to say it like that. We ain't in no nightmare yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, underlining in my stomach what tears me apart, why they're showing us this, that Netanyahu, he already said he's coming for Africa. And that's code, not just for Africa, the continent. That's for us on the planet. That's not just a code for Africans there. There's a video you can go and watch. He said he's coming for Africa.
That's right.
You can see them, what they're doing right now with us. The same thing they're doing you there, they're doing to us here. The same patterns of behavior. Shutting people down on radios, taking them off if you say anything. All this sort of stuff. I've been watching it from time. Mm-hmm. They've been building up to it. I heard one of their small hat people, I heard her say, oh, yeah, and there's this talk on the internet about we were involved in slavery. She said she came on a news program and said that, and I thought, wow.
Deeply involved in captivity, yes. So what was she coming with? No, we weren't?
No, the way she wants to put it, this is how they work, Babaji, like it's some, mad conspiracy on the internet, because they're passing laws right now in Europe to shut down, and it's happening. You say anything on the internet, they just shut you off, cut you off. You know the reality. I don't know if you see it over there. There's some shops, places where you go and buy food now. It's got like a barrier before you get in. It's got a barrier. Someone highlighted it on the WhatsApp.
So
you have to put a card on it. Put a card before you can get in.
And that's how you can get
so
in.
So you know what's coming. You know what's coming now. Yeah. And also a program where a girl went into a shop and they got cameras on the door. And she was mistaken for someone else. And they banned her from all the stores in that area. Right? And she was just up there studying. It was a mistaken identity. Mm. But then she had to fight for a year and a half
to
overcome that. Right. Look, what's coming down the pipeline? That's coming down the pipeline. So what I'm saying is, you see programs like this and they listen to us and they put a mark on us. We can't buy food. That's what's coming down the pipeline.
Hold on.
So we're worried about these people.
Hold on, Brother Paul. Let me get Ralph in before we run out of time. Hey, Brother Ralph, how you doing, my brother?
Hey, good afternoon to both of you guys. Hey, look, Paul, yes. Every time I hear people getting emotionally distraught over either one of these puppets that don't work for themselves, there's a big power behind the scenes that's pulling the strings for both of them. But our people are focused on these candidates like it's a football game, and it's not. It's not. These people, the people running the show, are direct descendants of the people who have always ran the show.
Exactly.
And they put puppets in front of us.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do get upset when I hear our folks getting emotionally involved about either one of these puppets. It's nothing more than a big stage show. I just had to call in.
Thank you.
I was taking my clipboard, throwing it against the wall. Here we go again. Here's the same conversation. Here's the programming.
Right on,
Brother Paul was right. Yeah. All right then, fellas. Have a good one.
All right, Brother Ralph. Take care.
I just want to put it out there. He is a real African-American, by the way. He's a real African-American. But I can feel him. I can feel him. Right.
Oh, yeah.
4,000 miles away, I can feel it. Because you know what, Baba Ochi, really? They've got our minds. And I hate to say it. Even some of the conscious among us, they've given us something so toxic that we seem not to be able to escape it.
Yeah.
We need to focus on ourselves. We are the only answer to our problems.
Yes.
Not Kamala Harris. I can't do for you, man. Or Donald Hitler Trump.
Yeah.
None of them. Our solution. None of these people.
All right, Brother Paul. Let me catch our sister here. Sister Habiya, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Enjoying the program. Yeah. I see you don't have much time, but no. I really did agree with Brother Herb and Brother Paul to what they're saying. Brother Herb was talking about his distractions.
Yes.
You know, they have all these distractions. The elections is a distraction, just like this thing with Trump and Harris. I mean, it's distractions. They're talking about that, but meanwhile, we're about to go into like a third world war. They were saying that Netanyahu is wanting to go into Hezbollah. He declared that he's going to extend, you know, the war of Gaza against that. You know, and then you have that person from Ukraine coming up, and he's trying to meet with the president because he wants to get permission to invade inside of Russia, so to escalate it. And then the Russian person over there is saying, well, look, this is a declaration of war.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all this going on, but what's being focused on is these elections, stuff like that. So I just was agreeing with that.
Okay, my sister.
Yeah. You know, and plus, but I'm concerned because they want to send us over there. They talk about putting boots on the ground. That's the discussion. So
yeah,
that's,
right.
You know, like trying to send our children over there to be killed and died for this, you know, this.
All right, my sister.
Yeah. So.
All right, dear. BB for Hodier.
BB
for Hodier. Peace to you.
Peace.
Yeah. Wanted to get a chance. I mean, that Donald Trump piece with Richard Reich, you can go online. You can go to YouTube and you can get that, you know, 10 worst. Just start off with the 10 worst things about the Trump presidency, Richard Reich. Okay? That's Richard Reich. And then you can, let me see, make sure that you get the spelling, because that's, the 10 worst things, Robert Reich, R-E-I-C-H, 10 worst things about the Trump presidency, Robert Reich. And you can get that off of YouTube. And of course, you can give me a call at 414-324-5796 to get you a copy of the online African World, the War Report. Or you can email me at oshi427ade@gmail.com, and I will forward you a copy of that information. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and we sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. What's supposed to be happening? I think there's a Frankie Beverly piece, Nationwide, Wearing White. I think that's Friday. Yeah, I think that's going to be on Friday. Piece on giving Frankie Beverly some love. I don't know if you saw on your YouTube, not on YouTube, on what you call it, and where Frankie Beverly had taken over New Orleans. They did the second line, him in a glass coffin. It was just tremendous. Yeah, and literally thousands of people. A lot of love for Frank, and justly so. So, brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana, means thank you. Abibi Fahodie. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Be safe. Peace.